Ihr der Walter Gott.
Wow, it's been a long time since I've been up here. We just pray. Lord, you said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Lord. And I just pray for your living water to rise up this morning, Lord. Lord, let your words be truth and let your words be life, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll receive keys and open our eyes and understanding the truth and your word, Lord. As we study your word this morning, Lord, Lord, change us. Change our perspective and make us a visionaries for you. In your name, amen. Excited to be here. This past few months has been quite challenging for me personally. I feel so getting stretched and pulled in all different directions. And there's been a few verses that skimmed in my mind through these times. And one of them's really weird, eh? It's like Luke 22. It's near a uplifting verse. It's near a on fire verse. But to me, I want to share it with you this morning. And I pray you will be uplifted because it's uplifted me. But it doesn't seem it, as it's been said. Luke 22. If you have Bibles, if you've got your Bibles and your phones, let's read the Word of God together. Sometimes when you read something, it gets into your heart. Luke 22, 31 to 34. The Lord says to him, says to Simon, 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 Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So Jesus has got Simon. And Simon already had a word for God, did he? Simon Peter, on you, Simon Peter, I'm going to build my church. Simon Peter, on you, I'm going to build my church. Yet here's God, here's Jesus saying, Simon, Simon. And as if I close my eyes, I just imagine if it was actually happening here. I could just imagine Jesus taking Simon and sitting him down beside him. He says, Simon, Simon, something's about to happen in your life. I didn't just say it once, Simon, hey, Simon, Satan says, so to sift you as wheat. No, he can put his hand around, but I imagine. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I am praying for you. He was letting Simon care that something is about to happen in his life. A divine moment was about to happen in his life. But let's break this verse down. Let's see if it really, it's all about. And for that, we need to go back. I mean, the word Satan has asked, right? The next bit of that. So we've got Simon, Simon. That was Jesus and Simon. The next bit is Satan has asked. What on earth does that mean? Satan has asked. And for that, we need to go back to Job. Job 1. Now, I'm not a very good reader, so I've asked David Sushi, a paro, to help me this morning, in my audio Bible. So he's got to read it for us, the Hela Job 1. And this is the key to if it's happening in Luke 22. So let's journey with this. Journey with me this morning. Let's see if it's really happening. Hopefully it works. Or I'm going to have to read it all.
Job chapter 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to hold feasts in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, From roaming throughout the earth, going to and fro on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, Very well then. Everything he has is in your power. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out.
Isn't that nuts? God was in a staff meeting, right? So up in the heavenly courts or wherever it is, when I came for it is, God was in a staff meeting with his angels, right? Into the staff meeting walks Satan. That's what it says. That's the word of God, isn't it? Is that true, what I'm saying? In the staff meeting walks Satan. So the angels are all giving a report to God, saying, God, right? God's saying, put your reports on everything that's happening on earth. He says, wait a minute, Satan, you're here. What have you been up till? And Satan must answer, eh? He says, I'm just going back and forth the earth, just seeing if it's all happening. Now, who's in charge of this conversation? This is very, very important here. Who is in charge of the conversation, God or Satan? And that's the next bit. God is in charge, right? So God says, hey, if you see my servant Job, now God's instigating this, right? So God is saying, if you see my servant Job, I've seen him. What do you think of him? Oh, well, he's a spoiled brat. You have a hedge of protection around about him. He's sacrificing animals. I can't even get into them because you protect him so much that I cannot even get a foothold in him. Now, the word of God is like an umbrella. And this was saw that Job sacrificed animals for the sins of his sons and daughters, even though they didn't commit them, just in case. Yeah? So such was his life and his righteousness and how he lived his life. He says, I'm not going to have the devil a foothold in any area of my life, but just in case, I'm just going to sacrifice a few animals. He wants to have had a party in case something's been happening. That's what it says. And God says to him, so what do you think? Job says, he's a spoiled brat. If you took a wire hedge of protection around him and I got in, he would curse you and die. Now, why did God say, okay, have your way with him? Why? Now, I'm going to answer every question because I ain't got the answers to that. But this warps my mind, eh? How Satan goes into God's presence, how God questions him in this, how God instigates for Job to be tested. Now, let's think in Peter, back to Luke 22. God, did Satan go into God's presence and God said, what do you think of Peter then? Oh, Peter's a buddy. Peter's your right-hand man. Ken, you've already said that you're going to build this church then. But see, if I had my way, you'd far, you'd walk away. Now, I'm just instigating that because Satan had asked God to sift Peter as wheat. Now, Peter kent what it was to be sifted as wheat. Now, I looked it up online to see if it's sifting a wheat was before it was a combine harvester. And what they used to do is take a wheat, they throw it down in the ground, later in the ground, and then they would take a stick with a shorter stick, laid a bit of rope between the two, and they just whack it and whack it and whack it and whack it. So what Jesus was saying is Satan is starting to put you down the ground. He's seeking to trample on you. He's seeking to bash you. He's seeking to pulverize you. He's seeking to knock a stuffing out of you. But I'm praying for you. So therefore, God's saying, it's okay. It's okay for you going through this time of testing. It's okay for this to happen to you because Satan has asked permission. And I said, yes. Isn't it nuts that God would allow us to go through a times of testing? Yeah? Is it nuts that God would allow Satan authority to put us through hardships and trials? Why? Why on earth does that happen? Why do we go through trials? Why do we go through testings? Is it because God wants you, Satan, to bring out something in our lives that's going to be amazing? That God, you see, Satan just kens what's happening. God kens the tomorrow. And God knew that Peter was going to be transformed through this. God knew, and Jesus knew, that there was a problem within Peter's life. And the problem within Peter's life was that he was a Galilean. And Galileans was very much known. I mean, Kevin was talking about the Scottish guys last week, drinking a whiskey, thinking they're a bravado. That's the Galileans, eh? They shot their moves off, and they was true, and they was going to be for the kingdom, and that sort of stuff, and the brave heart sort of stuff. And that was a Galilean. But Peter had a cursing problem, did he? He had a wee bit of a swearing problem. His mood kind of got the better of him. And Jesus says, before the cock crows three times, you're going to curse me. You're going to say you don't care nothing about me. And it was true. He says, but Peter, I'm praying for you that your faith will not fail. And you can sometimes, when I look at my trials, if I look at things that go wrong in my life, I'm beginning to think, is there something that God's got to work with us in my life? It's greater, it's for my good. Is God allowing this husks and this flax of barley to be knocked, stuffing out that only the seeds remain in my life? Something that's got to be fruitful. Something's got to remain. Something's got to be life-giving. Something's got to be sustenance. Is the hardships that we're going through a process that God allows Satan authority in some areas of our life to produce something that's greater for his kingdom? Huh? Is our temper getting the better of us? Huh? Do we need here a testimony of why it would really like? I mean, are just so much things in my life that I would like to see better. And I came through the hardships I've been going through, and my hardships are your hardships, and your hardships are my hardships. I've been through different things, did I? And I just feel this morning that we've got to understand these things. The first key I want to share with you this morning is this. Satan has only authority in your life that God allows. God said to Satan, you can do the only thing with him, but you will not harm him. Satan was bound to that. Satan, one day, if you read on, one day, it says, if you read on this verse, let's just read it on. See if it's going to happen in one day in this man's life. This man's a multimillionaire. This man's a pillar of success. He's got 7,000 donkeys. He's got 500 female donkeys, plus some male donkeys. He's got 7,000 sheep. He's got so much stuff, eh? He's got seven sons and three daughters. I mean, this guy has got it all. But watch what's going to happen in his life. Hopefully I can get us to work again.
Out from the presence of the Lord. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall depart."
All in one day. Right, so he gets up in the morning. And he gets up in the morning. Everything's good. And let's just, I've got a list here of exactly what happened in that one day, because it's a lot to take in. In one day, all the farmhands was killed. In one day, 500 donkeys and 500 teams of oxen, that's 1,000 oxen, were stolen. And he had one survivor. That survivor comes back and speaks to him and tells him exactly if it's happened. The same time, while that guy's still speaking to Job, lightning strikes and kills 7,000 sheep and all the shepherds. I mean, that's bigger than the Broch lightning strike we had a few weeks ago, is it? Well, he's still, and there's one survivor. Well, he's speaking, right? So it's two survivors so far. Raiders come in, three bands of raiders come in and steal 3,000 camels and killed all the servants apart from one survivor. Well, he's still speaking. A wind comes in, and as the kids are out here in a party in the house, it knocks all the wives flat and kills all the children. I mean, I've had a bad day, but I've never had a bad day like that. This man goes for multimillionaire. I mean, I can imagine it. Everything's happened, and the last guy speaking, he says, "Wow, at least I've got my wife and family. Huh? You've lost something else, but you've still got your family." But is that's happening? His family is wiped out. I mean, Satan has got so much power for anything in us. But this is not the focus of my message this morning. This is not to be depressed. I'm not depressed by this message. I'm excited by this message. Why? Because if we read the end of Job, we're going to find out that Job is restored and he's greater and better than anything that ever happened in his life before. If we look at Peter's life, we see that Peter, even though he denied Jesus, even though the rock crowed and his mouth shut off, something was about to happen in Peter's life. Is something about to happen in my life? Is there something about to happen in your life? Eh? Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. But Satan kind of harmed Job. Satan kind of harmed Job. Chapter 2 doesn't get any better. Chapter 2, God's in a staff meeting again, and in walks Satan. And Satan comes in and says, God says, "Okay, if it's wrong with you, oh, well, I did everything." And he still didn't curse you and turn his back on you. But if I took away his health, he would really turn against you. And God says, "Okay, take away his health." And he did. He came out in boils and sores. And it was one of the hardest times. You just couldn't imagine it on somebody, could you? To lose all that and for their body going through that. But if we go back to what Jesus was saying to Peter, Satan has sought this if Jews weep. Now we've got it part. And he's saying, "But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." Do you get what the Bible says that Jesus is doing right now? What does it say? It says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing? He's praying and interceding. He's stepping in the gap on your behalf. Jesus is believing in you, just like he was believing in Peter. God knows Fitzroy the corner in Peter's life. God knows that in the upper room that the glory of God is going to hit him in such a way that he will never be the same. God knows that this man is going to be used, and he's going to be the first person to be used to preach a new way. A new gospel. And 3,000 folk is about to be saved. This man has got to turn things upside down for God. Yet there must be a process that he must go through. There must be a dying to self. There must be a dying. There must be like the sifting of the wheat in his life in order to go a step. I would love to dodge that step in my life, would you? Huh? That we just go from glory to glory to glory to glory without the sifting, sifting, sifting. But hey, guys, God's got a plan. God's got a destiny. I remember one guy says, when I'm going on a mission, if my plane's not delayed, if my bag's not lost, if my ticket's not misplaced, there's something wrong. It's going too easy. Because I'm not a threat to the enemy. And it's so easy to be a Christian and just come to church on Sunday and not be a threat. But it's only when we start advancing. It's only when we start believing. You see, God's doing something else in my life of new. And this is a verse that's come to me. Jesus, friend of sinners. And it's like a verse that chases me all the time. You see, I don't care if I've got any friends that are sinners in my life. All my life I've been brought up in church. All my life I've surrounded myself with Christians. But am I not supposed to be like Jesus? Am I not supposed to be in the world but not of the world? Am I not supposed to be a witness to them that doesn't know him instead of being a witness to them that do know him? Where is my connection with the real world? Where is my connection with the sinner? Where is my connection with Joe Bloggs? I was just surrounding ourselves with just Christians. And it's been a real, real challenge to me over this past 3 or 4 months. And I've been praying, God, give me the understanding of what you want to do in my life. And as I've been praying that, it seems as though I've been going through the process of the pulverization of the wheat and the chaff. It seems as though there's been a sifting in different areas of my life as I'm seeking to move on in God. And it's when we start to move on, it's when we start to get hunger, it's when we start to not want to stagnate on the mare, not want to just come to church, not want to just become a person who just sits in that seat. But want to advance, want to make a difference in the world, want to leave a legacy, want to leave a mark in people's lives. It's when we start doing that, it seems to be, Satan comes up to God and says, see, Paul, I want to be doing a wee bit of sifting in his life. And God says, okay. I mean, one of the things I've really got a heart for is businessmen, business people, not businessmen, business people. And that's one thing God's developed within my heart. And I would really want to connect with different business people and just share God with them, share Jesus with them, share truth with them, but without sharing Jesus, the word God, because it bits so much people off. But if I could share the principles of living, if I could share the reasons for living and put the gospel rune in a rune about why that's not religious. Sometimes we're too religious, I feel, and witnessing to people. That's me personally. I'm not a guy with Dia. I can share about my life. I could share how God's changed my life. I could share the process of my life with a group of guys and say, this is how I started in business. That's how God's done things in my life. And when we were first meeting yesterday, it was amazing for me. It was a breakthrough. It seemed to be all the times that all the things that was going wrong in my life was building up to that moment. Because I'm stepping out. I want to make a difference in people's lives again. Teen Challenge is gone for a season in my life, and I need to move on to a new season. You understand what I'm saying? There's a process, and when there's a hunger to move on in God, and you're desperate to move into a season, things are going to go wrong. There's a process in your life, but you didn't look at the process. You look at what God's about to do in your life. You're looking at lives that need God. You're looking at, hey, I need to reach out. I need to be a friend of sinners. I need to be an impactor for the kingdom of God in this world. I want to be a person that brings somebody else on. You can something. Stick with Christians and we grow stale. I want my house group to be full of people that hardly can God. Huh? Why? Because it gets stale. It gets boring. We say about the same theologies and church stuff and hour again. I don't know what. I want the freshness, the new Christians, the new people, and say, look, this is what God has done in my life. That's my testimony. It'll bring fire. It'll bring glory. It'll bring excitement again. Let's not get stale in our house churches this summer. Invite focus, not Christian share who's for a barbecue. Just be real. Didn't I share God with them yet? Just making first steps. Build relationships. Don't rely on God will open up if God's in it. Be a friend. Be a friend without trying to evangelize Abdi. Huh? I once heard it said it takes 21 times for somebody to hear about God before they make a decision. Average. Huh? Just touch somebody's life. Just show them you're real. That you're not a religious nut. That you're just somebody that just, hey, I went through the process in life. And yes, when you did step out, things are getting wrong. I've got £1,000 of tools nicked this week. Is that a coincidence? It was happened on a Friday, and I had a stepping out meeting on Sunday, a Saturday? No. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. I'm going the right direction in my life. But you start stepping out, things start to happen. And I can get all depressed about it, or I can say rejoice, Paul, because you're going the right direction. Things are going wrong in certain areas of your life, but it's proof that Jesus is praying for me. And when you turn back, Peter, when you turn back, you know what that meant? You know what that means? I can you get in the fool. I can you get in the fool, Peter. I can your mouth is going to get better of you. But when you fall, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. He didn't say that Peter was going to be a failure. He was saying that you're going to fall. Because I ken that mouth of yours, Peter. I ken your stubbornness, Peter. I ken that part of you, Peter, that's just got to be gung-ho. And when it hits the fan, your mouth is going to run off. And you're going to be so immersed in emotion that you can't control yourself. But see, when you do, turn back. That gives me hope, eh? That when I fail, when I fall, it's near the end. Eh? There is hope. If my mouth runs off with it, or if my emotions run off with it, it's near the end. If it's my job is to strengthen my brothers through the destiny. Wow, what a destiny. Do you believe that God said to Peter, imagine Peter saying, God says to me, Simon, Simon, Satan has sought to sift you as wheat. And I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Can you hear him say to his brothers? Hey, I totally failed. I totally screwed up. I denied Jesus 3 times. And no way, my eyes were opened and I couldn't believe it. It opened when the rooster crowed. When I heard the cockerel crowing, my eyes were opened. I realized I'd duffed up. But I remember what Jesus says, that to turn back, and I did. I repented straight away. And straight away, something lifted off of me. And straight off, what I went and I focused on what Jesus taught me to do. Didn't I focus on your issues? Didn't I focus on your failure? Didn't I focus on what's just happened? Didn't I focus on you being sifted as wheat? Strengthen your brothers. Focus on other people. Uplift their hands. And push them on and inspire them on to greater things in God. Get your eyes off yourself. Didn't I hear a poor pity party? Am I like a poor pity party? Huh? Am I like that? If things go wrong, suck up. Get yourself off the ground. Focus on other people. Strengthen them. Build them up. Shrug yourself off. It's happened. It's done. It's dealt with. It's yesterday. It's under the cross. Let's move on. Yeah? There's things in our life that we need to move on for. And we can I'm the worst. I ignore things. I mean, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just did that. I can't believe, oh, crap. What have I done? No, no. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent for that. I'm moving on. Okay, if you call me today, you've called me to strengthen my brothers. You give me a vision. You give me a dream. You give me a passion. You give me a reason for living. And I'm focusing on that. This morning, folks, let's focus on what God has called us to do. Let's not focus on the sifting. Sifting comes and sifting goes. Eh? Those in Christ remain. Eh? We have been through some stuff in life, haven't we? McKinsey, we're here. This morning, we're worshiping God. This time, we're worshiping God. And we just need to get shackles off our feet. We need to start dancing again. We need to start rejoicing. Even though sometimes stuff has gone wrong in our lives, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Oh, guys, I'm getting carried away this morning. Move on. Is there somebody this morning needs to move on? Yeah? Move on. So what do we do? I order some more tools. Get in my van and move on. Kind of concentrate on that. I've got time. Life's too short to wallow in that sort of stuff. Get the tools. Get on with life. That's what I do. How about you? Huh? We're kind of get our bedroom, lock the door, and get our beds. Lord, I've done it so much times. God has got a purpose. God has got a plan. My time is up. I've said what's in my heart with the overflow this morning. It's a depressing, again, it's a depressing verse, is it? It's a depressing verse if you look at it wrong way. But when your eyes are enlightened, when you receive the keys, and when you understand the keys, if it's happening here, it's life transforming. God is in a process of us being transformed from glory to glory. It was the same with Peter, and it's the same with Job, and it's the same with you, and it's the same with me. When things start happening, rejoice. When things start happening, keep going. When things start happening, then I get your eyes on that stuff. When things start happening and you muck up, repent, shrug it off, and move on and go and strengthen somebody. Go and spur somebody on. Go and get your arm around about somebody. I'm an adventure in my own life. And hey, is it a ministry? I don't care if it's a ministry or not. As I can, I'm called to be a light in the community. Again, that's our motto. Are you a light? How are you being a light in the community? How are you impacting? How are you being a friend of a sinner this morning? How are you emulating Christ? How are you reaching out? I feel as though some parts of my life, I've just been content to sit in my seat, do my business Monday to Friday, and just come to church on Sunday. But I'm tired of that. I want fresh vision. I want fresh fire. I want fresh souls. I want fresh hearts. I want to make an impact in people's lives once again. There's nothing like it, folks. There's nothing like it. Go for God this summer. Eh? Go for God. Throw the barbecues. Throw the parties. Be a friend and just invite folk in. Invite somebody in. When the sun's out, defenses are doing, are they? Didn't have to mention God in the first moments. Huh? When the sun's out, just have a laugh. Just have a bit of excitement. Suck it. Okay, I go to church on Sunday. That's no problem. But I'm here to have a party. Okay? Make a friendship. When the winter nights comes, then invite him. This summer. Then I switch off. Then I just sit back and let the summer and enjoy summer. Make a difference. It starts today. It starts this week. It starts when you go to work again. Rejoice. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for the keys you've put within our lives, Lord. Then you look at sifting as a bad thing, but Lord, we rejoice, Lord. Lord, because you are in control. Lord, you've got a plan and you've got a destiny for our lives, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that we will not get doom and gloom about life, Lord, but we will realize that we are a people for a purpose. We are a people that's got a destiny. We are a people that's got a hope. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that in this summer, we will share that hope in such a way, Lord. I pray, Lord, that in this summer, we will build bridges that have never been built in our lives before. Lord, I pray, Lord, this summer, we will reach out to the people, Lord. We're going to be just in our own little community, Lord, but I pray, Lord, that we will be hands that's reaching out to the community for these walls, Lord. I just pray, this summer, Lord, let us build relationships to people that we've never built relationships with before. Let's befriend the sinner, Lord. Let's befriend them that are lost, Lord. And let's be a light and be a beacon of hope to those round about us. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Paul. God bless you. We've got to get the worship band up. We've got to sing our final worship song as we tick up our offerings. But